There's one other reason. Because my mom's here. And that makes me really nervous. And so, but I just appreciate the pastor putting his trust in me to be here to share this. Appreciate Walmart letting me get off from work today to be here. That's a good benefit for me. And I hope we'll get a benefit from this time together. We know the Lord is our benefit, and we're going to trust Him to give us that word. Many of you don't know much about me. I don't know much about me either. God seems to waken me up to new things about me. But the heart of what we have to share with you today is the heart of what I call the gospel. Many of us, you know, we try to find religion. We try to find the fire insurance card. We try to find the social gathering that will encourage us and give us business or whatever. But Jesus and God is all about finding Him and being His voice. And so today we're talking about becoming the voice of God. And we're going to have five W's in that. The first one is what's preeminent, is the Word of God. Second one is the witness. The third is the I'm glad I got notes, because the third one just went this way. Oh, the wilderness. That's where I went for a minute. So if I go off into the wilderness every now and then during these few minutes, you'll understand. So, and then another one is called the who, and the final one is called the way. So what I would first like to read words to a song that is encouraging for me for this situation. You see, 2002, I was in Logan, Utah, packing up U-Haul because I just got fired from ministry. So I took all my books and all my tapes and all my studies and put them in the dumpster and took them to the landfill. So I'll never do this again. So this song has, the words to it has a lot of meaning for me today because recently my brother died, and he was the strength and the leadership of our family. He was my anchor and my hope, because he could preach the word. He could preach for 4 hours and you think like it was 2 minutes. He had such a great gift. And God was calling him all over the world, but God called him home. And this is the first time I get to preach. I got to do a funeral since his death, but the first time I've got to actually share. I don't call myself a pastor. I used to be called a pester. And I got fired from that, so I can't call that. I'm unemployed. But God is not finished with me. And this is a song. It says, it's called You Raise Me Up. It says, when I'm tired, and when I'm down, and when my soul is so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdens me, You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. Yes. And I am strong when I am on Your shoulders. And as we said briefly this morning, God is just looking for a vessel that's yielded, willing, and ready. And we're living in an opportunity where the world is ready to follow somebody. The question is, who are we going to follow? My challenge to you today will be that cry in your heart will be, Lord, let me be Your voice. One of the greatest prayers that was ever prayed for me was I was in Bible school, and a Bible school teacher walked up beside me to give me a word. And then all she could do was weep. And God spoke volumes in my heart as she wept. She apologized for her prayer. But sometimes, as we will see hopefully today, the expression God gives you is what you really want to have. It doesn't want to be the intellectual argument to defend God in this generation. What God is really after is somebody that can walk up to you and you feel the heart of God. And as we talk about, we'll talk about John today, and as John would be, he was that expression when they came to him and said, "Who are you? Are you the Christ? No. Are you Elijah? No." These are all people who began their ministries after coming out of the wilderness, and why the wilderness is so important, but why we so run from that. But if you want to have that cry that carries the voice of God with you, that carries his presence, that when you walk in a room, there's something happens. It's because you've had an intimate, close walk with God, and you can hear him when he whispers. It's like Elijah when he got afraid of Jezebel after he had all, you know, the big fight and killed off all of her prophets. She said, "I'm going to kill you just like them." The mighty man of God takes off running. And on his running, he gets tired. God picks him up by sending an angel, gives him some angel food cake and some water. He goes back to sleep again. Gets up again, gets to eat some more. And God gives him some food that lasts 40 days that he can run to the mountain and hide. And when he gets there to hide, Elijah's there, no pity party. "I did all this, blah, blah, blah. I'm ready to die. I make fire fathers. I'm just as bad as everybody else." And yeah, you're right. We are just as bad as everybody else. But he carried for a moment that voice of God that shook a nation. And we're not asking for a voice of God that will shake a nation. I would like to have a voice that would comfort somebody that's hurting because they lost a child, or someone that's hurting because they lost a job, or someone that just is down in the dumps. Could I be that voice for God? And they know it was God that spoke and just see me as a friend or somebody that's passed by and not even recognize who I am. John said, prefer him. Well, Elijah hears all this earthquake. It doesn't faze him. He hears a big wind and doesn't faze him. And all of a sudden, it gets real still and soft, and he runs out of the cave to listen because he hears the voice of God. So we have all this clatter and chatter and noise and opportunities in this world, and yet in the stillness of an hour, he hears the voice of God. And God doesn't condemn him. God picks him up and says, "I got a new job for you. Get to work." And that's you and I in this generation. We have been given an opportunity in our generation for the work of God. And God is looking for an instrument that will be Elijah, a John in this generation. And so with that introduction, let me pray, because we want God to give his word to speak to us. And may he give you grace to listen to me. And thank you, Lord, for just this opportunity. We ask and need the Holy Spirit. Lord, we've compartmentalized. We've done all kinds of things with the Holy Spirit in this generation and generations before. We've put it into groups and categories. But, Lord, why we want the Holy Spirit is because I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. I want to understand you. And even when I run away from you, I see you running after me and chasing me down and speaking to me. And so, Lord, we ask now for that gift of the Holy Spirit to speak through us, to us, and in us. Amen. One of the things I appreciate about Pastor Carl is the preeminence of this place is the Word of God. And so I have 34 verses to read to you. And I believe, and I learned this growing up in a denominational church, even with pastors that didn't even believe the gospel. The great thing about church was they'd always say, "Well, we got a scripture, because we got to have a scripture." And so when they would get the scriptures, they may go off preaching, but I would get caught up in the scriptures that they'd give, and sometimes I just kept reading, never heard what they say. That end, I'd say, "Man, that was a great message, Pastor." But the Lord was speaking to the Word. So the Word should have preeminence, and so I want you to hear this Word and remind me to read it slowly and carefully and loudly. Because it all began when God said, "Let there be life." Everything that we have was by the Word of God. And John chapter 1 ties into Genesis chapter 1. So the Word of God runs through the Bible as a marvelous thread. And the beautiful thing about this is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The same thing that we see in the embodiment of Christ, he wants to embody in you. The power of his Word taking hold of your life. Okay? So Lord, let your Word speak to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God. And to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke, that he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen the Father at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And then they asked him, what then, are you Elijah? And he said, no, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, no. And then they said to him, who are you? So that we can give an answer to those that sent us. What sayest thou of yourself? And John said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, but why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me, preferred before me, whose shoes latches I'm not even worthy to untie. And these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day, John sees Jesus coming to him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record and said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou seest the Spirit descending and remain upon him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And God said, let there be life. Jesus says that he came to his own and his own received him not, but that he was the true light. Even in the beginning was the Word. And the light came into darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And God has called us to become lights for him as Jesus became that light to humanity. God sent his Word to prepare us for the manifestation of his flesh. God came to us to recognize to us that he would carry our humanity. He would carry our unique abilities, our unique, our own uniqueness, some of us are so peculiar. But Jesus came to be the manifestation of the Word of God. And throughout all this, what we see here is the preeminence of the Word of God in all the affairs of humanity. When God spoke, it became. When God said, it was done. And so the first thing that we gather here is that in all that we do, the beginning of becoming that one who carries the voice of God is that we are vessels that hold the Word of God. So above all, just don't make it a cliche, I love the Bible, I love the Word of God. Let that word eat at you. Let that word grind you. Let that word pulverize you. Don't take the word. I was once asked, well, what do you base your life upon? I said, I make this one assumption for my life. The Bible is the Word of God. If I'm different from it, I got to change and not it. But we live in a generation where we can change the word to suit what we want. And that's not the purpose of this word. This word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our a light to our path and a lamp to our light to our feet. We'll get it out here in a minute. A light to our path and a lamp to our feet. John bore a record of that. And so with that, we have this beginning that the Word of God comes to look for a witness that he can find. And this witness that we find comes in the form of John. And John gets this calling upon his life. He gets this burden upon his heart because the Word of God has been spoken into him. Because he says he was a man sent from God, prepared with a purpose and a destiny. One of the amazing things that we should gather from our generation is that there's a great conflict going on between creationism and evolution. And you have two assumptions that go with those two ideas of life. Creation says God created you, and you should find a purpose that God has made you for. Evolution says you were randomly selected, so it means whatever you would want your destiny to be, that's your choice. So there's a lot of emptiness in the world today because we're chasing after destinies that we're not even sure what they is. But if you get someone focused on the light of the Word of God, they begin to search for the destiny that they feel that they were created for. And what makes you really feel complete is like it's like a job. When you've done a job well done, that sense of satisfaction of completion so secures you. But if you're just randomly doing jobs that just take you off and do a little here and do a little there and skip around and jump around, there's no sense of security and fulfillment. And so we end up with a life so richly void into poverty. We're rich of everything, but poor in just the real fulfillment of our life. We've never come to that realization of what we were called for. And so there comes that moment when we have to make this decision. And this is a decision John had to make. It wasn't that he was programmed where he, you know, like a robot, he had to, I'm going to go out in the wilderness. No, he had to make a choice one day to set aside all the opportunities, like in our generation, all the great privileges that we have to chase after and set them aside and make a choice to follow after the light. And that calling, as we remember, can even begin in a mother's womb when Mary shows up pregnant with Jesus and says that John was the first one ever to be stirred in the Holy Ghost because he stirred in his mother's womb when he was about 7 months old. And so that being sensitive to the voice of God, in that stillness, in that quietness, learning to recognize there's a voice calling us and directing us. And the way to demonstrate that is that willfully making a choice to search into this word, take after this word, look into this word, check out this word. Get the word in you and the word will get a hold of you. And so as John began that pursuit in the wilderness, He didn't learn his voice out in the wilderness. He learned the voice of God. And why would he use this term, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness? John began to manifest the very presence of Jesus in his life through the manifesting of his words off his lips. God began to reveal into John his very heart cry. You know, we may come up to someone and say, feel jolly and great and la la la, but the Spirit of God tells you that they're broken and hurting. They're just putting it on a face. And God gives you a way to communicate with them that heals the broken heart. He gives you a way that establishes a truth and a relationship that builds strength and hope within them. And you can walk away and not even know you've done anything, but allow the Holy Spirit to flow through your lips. Or he could be also like some of the prophets of old. He may make you do some weird stuff. Now, not all weird stuff is of God, but how would you like to lay on your back for so long, say, this is how long you're being in captivity, and go change on the other side, this is how long you're going to be in captivity. And you're just laying there with nothing to say. There's also that time when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and he just says, you can't say nothing. My friend that came up to pray, her lips were just sealed, but all her heart could feel was the cry of God. There is much clamor going on in just the religious world of, you know, what to expect. You know, expect a great revival, expect this. But where is that vessel God is looking for? That what they're expecting for is I want to hear how fast God's heart is beating and what it's beating for. Do you have a hunger for that place in your life to hear the heartbeat? Perhaps why the writer John was so close to Jesus. We get a picture of that at the Last Supper. All the chatter and stuff, all is going on, but you look there and here's John laying his shoulder, his head on the chest and the shoulder of Jesus. Why did he become beloved John? Rumor has it that one of his last words that he gave to the church before he died, and they tried many ways to kill him but never could succeed. God just finished him off in his old age. But his last words to the church was, beloved, let us love one another. He summed it all down to a few words. And we've so butchered that word, beloved, let us love one another. You know, we can come here with our faces. We can come here with our little books that our faces are stuck in all the time looking for all kinds of information. And we miss the real book that has the true inspiration. That there is a hurting and dying world when a daughter loses her mother, then her father, and she's the only child. What words of hope are you going to give to her? I will share with you what I gave to her. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Dark clouds fill your sky today, but sunshine will come again to brighten your day and to enlighten your night. God is going to speak to you in the clouds. The shadow of death cloud looms today. New clouds are forming whose shape will speak to you in your Father's love. Though you've lived in the shadows of your parents' love, God is bringing you forth to a new season of life. A time for you to arise and shine and never forget your roots, but to look to heaven to be your landmark. For you're established to be a woman with your mother's laughter and a daughter with your father's cheerfulness. I wrote that mostly because of speaking to myself about my brother. Living in the shadows of great men and women. And we become the one who are left. Is there opportunity for us? Mine would be, I don't want it because of all the weight of what the wilderness requires. God may ask some of you, say, well, I don't want you doing this activity now. I don't want you doing this activity now. Or he may say, you see that box you're looking at? So I want you to shut it off. And we start whining, but that's okay. It's not about I'm a Christian. It's about, do you want to hear the Father's heart? How many daughters have never heard the love of their father? My cousin, who I read that too, tells me the last thing her father said to her about love, he'd never done this before. He took his hand and rubbed her cheek and said, I love you. That will hold her for the rest of her life, that one touch from a father to his daughter as he's dying. How many of us need to hear our Heavenly Father touch our cheeks and say, I love you? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. But I want that heart cry that grabs hold of my heart. I know that I know. Because we sing a song here about he's our Savior, our healer, and our deliverer, right? What do you get to the point when you need deliverance, but you're not getting delivered? When you need healing and you lost your healing, and you begin to wonder, do I have enough faith now even for salvation? You need that touch of the Father coming by, touching your cheek and saying, I love you. You need that stillness of His presence in your life when you're secured even beyond all your own faithlessness, lack of faith, emptiness. You need the touch of the Father. And the Father knows that humanity needs His touch. That's why He took His word and He made it flesh and He called His name Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Prince of Peace. And we call Him Jesus. And He takes that word and He puts a human touch to it. And He comes to the widow who's lost her son. He raises him up. He comes to the one filled with demons and He delivers them. And he gets put down because all the pigs got killed that day. He was in the shame of what the humanity would say about that. He was concerned about the individual that was involved in that. That unique one like you and I that has that trouble with maybe deliverance, that has that trouble of maybe getting my healing, or maybe has that trouble with just, I'm struggling to know that I believe. And he's looking for a vessel that will come by and say, I'm the voice of the one that's crying in the wilderness for you. I'm the voice of the one that has your heartbeat in mine. So we've looked at the word, the witness, the wilderness, the who. The who is you and I. The who is whosoever will. The who is waiting on, hear my Lord. When I was starting my freshman year at Madison College, that dates me, my friend invited me to a free meal at then called Bell Mead. It used to be Pano's, now I think that's closed. They said, we got a music group there called Hawaiians, why don't you come here and eat? I said, I like the free food, so I went for the free food. But anyway, they were talking about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'd never heard such a phrase. So the Hawaiians sang and spoke about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the goodness of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and all this stuff. And so they give an invitation and they say, anybody here want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? My heart's going. I didn't do nothing. Sang another song. Oh, they did it again. My heart's going. I did nothing. But God is so good. They did it another time. My heart's going. And I went like this. Man of great faith, you know. It didn't get above the shoulder. And so then they went through three things of times of those who want to get saved, go to this room. Those who want to fill the Holy Ghost, go to this room. Those who want healing, go to this room. I sat there. They did it a second time. I sat there. They did it a third time after we all stood up. And I stood there. And they dismissed and everybody left. And there was this lady with white hair walked up to me and said, "Don't you want the Holy Spirit?" It was like an arrow slaughtered right through the center of my heart. So I went down there, sat down there. They had a row of chairs about like this. First person was there, so I sat down in the second seat. They said, "Raise your hands and start praising the Lord." I said, "Well, I can do that. Well, praise the Lord." Oh, praise the Lord. But before the first person could get anything out of their mouth, I raised my hands to just say, "Praise the Lord," and all of a sudden I'm speaking a language I never heard of. Got so excited, I called my mom up when I got home that night. And I didn't know what to tell her because I didn't know what I had. But I'm sharing this with you because of God's goodness. I knew nothing about it, and some of us knew nothing about God, about the voice of God. But there's something in you speaking right now that says, raise your hands and say, "I want it." You're not raising it for me. You're raising it in your heart to Him and say, "I want to have that heartbeat." Because you know it's resonating in your heart right now. And God says in the fifth W is the way. What is the way? He says, "I'll make the way straight." He says, "I don't know the way. I didn't know the way. But if you raise your hand saying, whosoever will, God will make the way. If you raise your hand and say, whosoever will, God will say, I'm the way maker. If you raise your hand and say, whosoever will, God will send His word and deliver you and take you. If you raise your word, not only will He give you the word, He'll make you the witness. Not only when you raise your hand and say it, I will, He says, I will have done it. So if you raise your hand today in your heart and say, God, I want to be that expression like John, who could clearly say, I'm just the voice of one crying. I carry the Father's heart cry. Or you could be like Elijah. Hit out in your life. Nobody's going to bother me. I'm done with all this stuff. But it gets too quiet. And he hears the voice of God in that quietness. He didn't let all the religious clamor distract him and take him off a course. He waited for the voice of God to speak to him. Raise your hand and say, whosoever will. God's looking for somebody who says, I'm ready, willing. And sometimes the wilderness, if you like, the first wilderness trip was the nation of Israel. They had a two-day journey to the promised land. Guess which way they got? 40-year journey in the wilderness. We want our Burger King way, you know, have it our way now. We'll even put it on an app and have it there when I get there. God is in no hurry. But if every day you say, whosoever will, to God, He will make the way. He will give you the word, and He will make you the witness that He's called you to be. We're going to close now. You want to have a closing song?